Welcome to Friends Church, everyone. Glad you're here this morning. If you're here for the first time, welcome. You got dragged in by a friend. Maybe, who knows what the story was, but you're sitting here nervous. I just want you to feel relaxed and welcome. We do have coffee, tea, hot chocolate, water, and the doors never lock, all right? So those are the important things. And bathrooms right outside those doors. There's a parents' room if you have kids. If you're listening to this message on our podcast, we have a whole podcast community out there that sometimes can't make it in here or have never been here, actually, in person. I just want to welcome you, too, if you're listening. Good morning. All right, so this is week number 2 of a 3-week series we entitled I Love God, Do You? It's a series that we've devoted to challenging our judgmental attitudes and actions. And last week we kicked it off, and if you were unable to join us last week, or you hadn't listened to that message yet, can I just really strongly recommend that at some point this week, soon after this morning, you go back and you listen to that message. You can go to our website, www.friendschurch.ca, or go to iTunes. Just download the podcast. Just type in Friends Church. You can search for it and find it. I'm saying that because this message was really meant, last week's message was really meant to lay down the groundwork for what we're going to do today and what we're going to do next week. Basically, the gist of this series is this. We all have lists that we believe. We each have a list. And when you look at it, it's full of things that we believe are wrong. Wrong for us. It might be wrong attitudes. It might be wrong actions, lifestyles, behavior. Like, you name it. I have a list. I have a list of things that I believe are just not right for me. My conclusion last week was that it's next to impossible. And I say that just to soften it. Personally, I think it's impossible for me to look into your life at the things that you're doing, the things that you're thinking, the things that you're engaging in, and judge the spiritual implications between you and God. It's impossible for me to look into your life and say, things cannot be good between you and God based on you doing things that are sitting on my list. That was my conclusion last week. Bottom line, Jesus says, just don't judge. It's not your job. Don't judge. Well, today we're going to do something that I personally have never witnessed in church before. We're going to interview a really, really wonderful couple who happen to be lesbian. A wonderful couple, Christian couple. And we want to be able to take you past the homosexual issue, stuff, the lesbian label, to show you some real people who love God. Now, though this message is not about what the Bible has to say about homosexuality or the rights and wrongs of that, I know there will likely be some people right now here or who are listening to this message who are struggling with those questions. And I want to make it clear that our intention as a leadership team here is not to dodge those questions or to avoid talking about them. This right now isn't the time that we're going to do that. If you're in the process, though, of working this out, maybe as you have heard us talking, you've gone away here, you've been talking, and other people are weighing in, and there's all kinds of different opinions on that. You know what? And you're trying to process out, where am I on this issue? I want to encourage you. I just want to say we want to help in any way we can. Support you in the wrestling out of where you are at on that. Couple suggestions I'd make for that is, one, to go back to our website, friendschurch.ca, and listen to a series that we did back in January called The Bible, Open with Caution. It's a series we did that was designed really to talk about how we read the Bible and we interpret it. Because it's in that, partially, that can make a lot of difference in terms of our Christian approach. Secondly, I would go back and listen to last week's message. And then from there, if you're just going, boy, I'm still struggling, I would like you to email or call me or one of our staff, and we'd love to chat with you. All right. A couple people recently asked me, they just said, Jeff, why are you doing this? Like, man, it just like seems like it's going to, it could be inflammatory. And I want to go on record right now why I believe so strongly about what we're going to do here. We're doing this because in the Christian world today, there is probably no other people group that Christians have felt justified to judge and mistreat and, dare I say, hate more than those in the gay and lesbian community. If we truly believe that it is not our job to judge, then we figured, you know what, this would be the obvious group of people that we can think about right now who we need to learn to be more judgmental about. Non-judgmental about, sorry. Often the best way to break down judgmentalism is to bring those people who you judge right up close and let you see the humanity. See the real people behind the label. So folks, having said all that, it's a great honor for me this morning to introduce to you Jane Matiation. Lori Matiation. I told you I'd screw this up. Lori Matiation and Jane Forrester. Could you welcome, give them a warm welcome to our stage this morning? Welcome. I told you I'd mess that up. Forgive me. Forgive me. Come and sit down. Grab a mic there, if you will. Sure. Yeah, we can just sit right here. This is Lori, and this is Jane, okay? So if I mess it up throughout, I've already warned them. I'm pretty poor. Can we just start by getting to know you a little bit? Careers. Let's start there. Lori, do you want to start?
Sure. I'm a CPO musician. I've been working in the CPO now for the last 26 years. This is my 26th season that we're finishing up. Basically, that's it.
Yeah, you play French horn.
And I play, sorry, I should tell you what I play.
Sure.
Guess. I play French horn.
Awesome. Yeah. And the Calgary Philharmonic.
And the Calgary Philharmonic.
And I'm going to have to get used to these lights.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm in social work. I do home visitation with families that have infants and children and help them to be the best parents that they can be. I work with a lot of immigrant families. I work in Forest Lawn.
Awesome. Can we just go back and can you give us kind of a little snapshot of your upbringings, highlights, lowlights? I don't know if that's... I found it interesting as you kind of told me your different stories because you come from different places. Jane, why don't we start with you?
I grew up in Toronto. And I have a mom, dad, and I have an older brother. My childhood was in the church. I went to the United Church, still do. Pretty sort of uneventful in major events, but our family is not close. And as I was saying with Jeff earlier, I think my family has a bigger issue with me proclaiming that I'm a Christian more so than that I'm gay.
Struggle with the whole notion of church, and that's something interesting. How about you, Lori?
I grew up in Manitoba, Brandon, Manitoba. I have three siblings, and when you ask me about my childhood, to be honest, I don't really remember a lot of it, so that probably says a lot in itself. I do remember the church part of my childhood. I worked, and I remember being in church a lot, and a lot of my life revolved around the church. But as far as my actual childhood goes, I don't really remember very much.
Faith in God, growing up, was he part of your life You know, you're saying you've had church experience. What was your perception or understanding of God? Do you, you know, looking back?
When I was a kid, I remember that our evenings were sitting down with my mom and not my dad. My dad's not a Christian. Sitting down with my mom and reading the Bible and praying and memorizing scripture, and so God was very much a part of my life when I was a little kid. And as I was growing up, I was heavily involved in the Salvation Army Church, was in the youth group, was in the choir, was in the band at that time, and so the church was my life.
Hmm. Yeah. The church also was my life, but more in a community way. The church was two blocks away. We said grace. That was it.
We didn't say grace.
You didn't say grace? Really?
No, we didn't say grace.
Okay. No. Wow. Gee, no, I'm joking. Figure that one out, right? So your parents had problems with the church, but said grace at meal time. Okay.
My parents still go to church.
Really?
Oh, they've never stopped going.
Okay.
They go to every Sunday, very involved.
Okay.
But when you start going too far, saying that you're Christian, I've been on missions,
okay.
That
yeah, yeah.
Crossing the line.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so growing up, your view of God?
My view of God was this unattainable thing. And I'll allude to the stained glass. That was my vision, the stained glass, the beautiful stained glass in the church. I always thought that the light came through, and that was God. That was it. God didn't really play a part in my day-to-day life. I didn't think he did.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And different for you, though, Lori? Would you say?
Oh, God was a very, very, very much a part of my life. Yeah, when I was growing up.
Hmm. Okay. So I want to ask you, Jane, at what point, because I know that it's changed.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Right. So at what point did God become more than just the stained glass?
Well, when I sobered up. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and actually when I started to attend a recovery service, and I had to learn how to let go and let God. And at that point, when I allowed God to have an active part in my life and turn it over, it was amazing. And the stained glass, of course, is a huge, huge piece of me letting go. And when I let go and let God and actually acknowledge the fact that I was gay, which was extremely hard for me to do, it was very scary. And that's when I felt I was following God.
Wow. Let's go back, because your story... it's funny. We sat and chatted the other night. Lori just kind of sat there. Jane has
I'm boring. I'm boring.
No. We kind of laughed about it. But there was a large part of your life that you went through kind of even meet God.
Yep.
You were once married.
I was once married to a man.
To a man.
Now a woman.
Yes. Can you just kind of go back a little bit, circle back there, and talk a little bit about that season? You didn't really have a relationship with God at that time.
Definitely not. I had a relationship with alcohol and drugs. And I also had an expectation, I felt, placed on me by my family and society that I had to be married. It was the right thing. I grew up in a very straightforward family. Nobody smoked. Nobody drank excessively. Everybody was married, had children. That was what I had to do. And I actually left Toronto and Canada and traveled for 10 years because I had to get away and find who I was. But all it really did was I just drank more and used more. And I met my husband in Africa, and really super nice guy. Really nice guy. He's an alcoholic as well, and as far as I know, he's not recovering. But he's Australian, and we moved to Australia. I met him in Africa. We'll talk about the travel itinerary some other time. ended up back in Canada, and just lost, actually, quite lost. My life was not very happy. Come home from work and just use as much as I could. And then when I make it short, went into AA, went into rehab, went to church, and when I walked into church, the recovery service, I was eyes cast down. I was so humiliated about being there, A, in church, because I didn't really have a faith, and B, being an alcoholic. And I looked up, and they had the screens like you have here for singing, and they lowered them. And there was the same stained glass that I grew up looking at. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And
that verse was written up
there. It's written underneath the stained glass. And that was, for me, such a strong message. Thank you, God. I will let go.
Wow.
And then they spoke to the stained glass for 2 Sundays in a row. And I was so filled at that point.
You just felt like God had visited you.
Oh,
and
completely.
Something started
yep.
shifting.
And then my life started to fall into place.
Huh. Went through a divorce.
Yes, I had gone through a divorce, very straightforward. He didn't contest nothing.
It was just
friends. It was fine.
Yeah. Let's talk about the moment when you were, each of you individually, obviously, different times, didn't know each other at the time, you looked in the mirror and said, I'm gay. Can you describe what was going on even in that moment? Was this like a, woohoo, I figured something out? Was it like that? Or like,
coming from my background, no. It was...
Maybe go there first. What was your background?
My background was Salvation Army, very fundamentalist, very scripturally based, and I say that, but my life is still scripturally based. It's just different. And so
view of homosexuality, that whole thing.
Yep,
the
whole thing was taught that homosexuality was bad, was wrong.
Was that your understanding too?
That was my understanding. That's what I was taught when I grew up. That this was wrong. And I remember kind of realizing that I could be gay in high school, but I didn't allow myself to go there. It's just that the church, my family, my upbringing said no. This is so. I didn't allow myself to go there. I was in denial. I just like, no, I'm not going to go there. And it wasn't until I actually moved here and met a woman and realized that this really, really is who I am. Fell in love with her. This wasn't Jane at the time. This was another relationship. And I remember the moment when the realization that I had to face that this is who I was, who I am, and I remember praying, and I remember saying to God, please don't take me down this path. I don't want to go there. Please don't take me down this path. But the feelings didn't go away. They were still there, even stronger, and here I am, and it was... It's been quite a journey. It's been a struggle. It was a struggle for me. I did not go, woohoo, I'm gay.
No.
Boy. If anything, I was kind of running the other way and saying, God, please don't send me down this path.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there.
How about you, Jane?
I was dumbfounded, really. I didn't have a clue when I was growing up that I could be gay. Not that I was gay or had those feelings, but that it was even permissible. And I was thinking about this after our conversations as I was trying to really, what was the message given to me? And men could be gay, but women weren't.
That was what was going on inside your head.
That was what was going on when we were talking. I've been thinking about that since. And so it never dawned on me that I could be gay. When I finally sobered up and started to learn to listen, which I'm still working very hard on that. It was like, wow, can I really love another woman? Yikes. It was not something that I was excited about. I was really lost. I don't know how to do this. I don't know if I want to do this. Struggled my whole life to fit in, which is why the drinking, trying to fill up and that kind of thing. And if you really want to fit in, you don't be gay.
Yeah.
You know, especially in our family. And yeah, it's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, where do I go?
Experience.
Yeah, who's going to be my friends? Am I ever going to meet someone that I'm going to truly love?
Let's talk about the reaction that people had around you. Can I ask you, who did you tell?
The first person I told was were my gay friends who lived across the street from me and who were very good friends. Actually, one of them also played in the CPO. So because I was struggling with this, I needed to talk to somebody. And to be honest, I really wasn't going to go to the church. I was not going to go there.
Yeah,
so I went to my gay friends and said, you know, I'm feeling like this. And the first thing, and I said to them, I remember the exact words. I said, how can something that feels so right be wrong? And they said to me, it's not wrong. And that was the best thing they could have said to me at that point, because it kind of validated a little bit. Not a lot, but just a little bit, that maybe this was okay. And
Lori, when were you able to talk to your parents or people that you knew probably might not have the same kind of reaction?
And it took a while. I did not come out to my family, I think, for a year after. Yeah.
How did that?
That
work
did not
out?
Go well.
Hmm.
It still doesn't go well.
It still does not go well. No, my family, although they love me, they do not accept me as a lesbian woman. So, yeah.
Jane?
I told friends that I knew would be accepting, and just and trying to, because they know me the best. They take everything, the rehab, the alcohol, the crazy life. If they stuck with me through that, then they could stick with me through me coming out to them. And then telling my parents, well, I told my mom, and it was probably 2 years later, I guess, and my mom said, even if you were a murderer, I would still love you.
Wow.
So, you know, it's sort of like, oh, okay, murderer, gay, same thing. All right. Different kind of jail term. And then I left it up to her to tell my father, simply because she had to live with them. My folks are still in Toronto, and I was there visiting. And she told my dad, and he just said, well, is she happy? And my mom said, I think so. That was it. No conversation, which was very typical of our life. We don't talk about anything.
Okay. Okay, you were both Christians involved in the church at this point. You had gone through this radical transformation. Lori, you had been a part of the church for a long time, and you know, you were steady Eddie through, you know, I mean, really, looking at your life, you didn't have major lows,
that's why I
major
love her.
Highs. Yeah. And
stable.
So you come to this point, now you're convinced, okay, this is who I am. Now, how did the church respond to this?
Well, I kind of left the church momentarily, briefly, okay. when I came out.
She was attending a Baptist church.
I was attending a Baptist church. I attended an Alliance church. And what I did was I didn't go to church for a while because I needed to deal with who I was. And the church, I felt, was not going to help me with that because the churches that I went to didn't think it was a good thing. So I left the church for a while, but I missed it so much. I missed my connection with God. I missed the just being there in the presence of God, and that I would go in, I'd go to church and I'd sneak in the back and I'd sit in the back and I'd praise God in my own way and then quickly leave afterwards. And so it was hard for me dealing with being gay, and because I had such strong faith that was so important to me. But during all of this, I never felt that God abandoned me. If anything, God was just reassuring me that, hey, this is okay. This is okay. So, and I remember thinking that the Jesus I grew up with and love and my hero was, you know, he would welcome me with open arms. He would not judge me. He would not condemn me. He would dine with me. He would talk to me. Because he was a radical type of guy, so I kept clinging to this, and I eventually actually ended up finding a church that I felt very, very, very comfortable with, and that accepted me, I shouldn't say it that way because welcomed me, and I was there for 10 years, yeah.
Okay, Jane.
I was already attending the church that she ended up coming to, and that church will take anything, so I figured, hey,
wow.
It's no harm.
By that, what do you mean?
They would... it's a recovery service, so okay. Alcoholics, drug addiction, prostitutes, street people, homeless, gay, transgendered, yeah. anything goes. And it just, so I figured, well, I was a little uncomfortable because I walked in there straight, heterosexual,
okay.
And then changed when okay. I was in there, came to the realization, because as my faith grew
wow.
through the church and the message, then I found
church
myself.
Had a powerful impact on you at that time. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that's where you two met.
It is.
Yes, we met in the church. We met at the church that we were at, yeah. And it was interesting because we were doing a Bible study book course, and the book was Rick Warren's book, 40 Days of Purpose.
40 Days of Purpose.
And we met in this small group. Jane and I had met.
We've often wanted to email and thank Rick.
We wanted to thank Rick Warren for bringing us together.
Yeah. I'm not sure how well that would go over.
No, it's funny. Can we just talk about your spiritual journey now? You know, around here, we talk a lot. We believe we exist to help people live like Christ in their world. And part of that is Him. We have this strong belief, we even talked about it over the last few weeks, about how He guides us. Has that been your experience? Maybe, can you just kind of talk a little bit about your spiritual journey? And do you
yeah.
feel God's guidance?
Oh, absolutely, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. He's with me all the time. He's my best friend. He walks beside me, and he's very much in control. But I want to back up a little bit
okay,
and
yeah,
just
yeah.
say that Jane and I met in the church, and we strongly believe that God brought us together. There's no doubt in our minds that God brought us together. In fact, I think Jane was praying one. Maybe you want to talk about that, but she was praying one day, and when I pray, I kind of go, God, please hit me between the eyes. Don't be subtle. I need to know things like hit me in the eyes with them.
I need that too.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. So, and I think Jane was praying one day, and she, if you want to jump in, you can. She was praying, and she was wanting kind of validation from God that this was. This was okay, that we were going to be together. And she said, can you just show me, God, that this is okay? And the phone rang, and it was me. So I don't believe in coincidences. I don't. I believe that God is very much a part of this relationship. In fact, God is at the center of this relationship. He brought us together. And he leads us in this and directs us in the direction that we think we need to go. And I think that's why we're here today.
And in our daily lives, we ask for guidance every morning. That's how we start our days, individual.
You were talking about this the other night. I thought this was interesting. You're different. Yeah. kind of, I don't know if you call them quiet times, God times, whatever. It looks a little different.
Yep, Lori, we have to do it separately. Every morning, start the day in conversation with God. Lori talks to God, and I need to listen.
Really?
So
Lori does more talking, you do more listening.
She has more of a friendship back and forth relationship. I just need to learn to shut up and listen to what he's trying to tell me.
I think I'm a little more like you, actually. At least my wife helps me understand that, yeah.
I being an alcoholic and in addictions, we tend to control just a little. Hmm. So I need to really learn just to be still and be quiet and just feel the love of God come through me, and it's amazing. This just incredible feel. I'll do some reading sometimes and just, you know, then maybe ponder over something that's really caught my attention.
You're showing me your book list. You've got this big stack of books that you're reading, so you'll read.
I'll read.
And often that'll be an opportunity for God to talk to you.
Yeah, because something will pop out, and this morning I was reading before, as we do every day, and I'm reading Richard Rohr. He's a Catholic Franciscan priest.
Yes.
And he said exactly what your message is that you're experiencing right now and exploring. We just need to live love. He was talking about Mother Teresa.
Wow.
And just live love. That's what Jesus taught us, and that's what he has done. Mm-hmm. And we try to do the same. I can speak for myself, and when I work at the Salvation Army, which is kind of fun.
Nice.
And I am openly out at the Army, and I'm actually a manager of our program. And when I do supervision with my staff, it's a great opportunity for me to help them learn how to live love with the families that they work with, be non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
It's just the way it is. We have no right to judge. And I don't judge people here.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. I just try to do the best that I can every day.
Right on. Lori, your spiritual journey looks a little different. Tell us about your times with God.
My time with God is I'll read a little bit too, or I'll pray first, and then I'll read something that God will direct me to read, or read it. Scripture, and actually the scripture this morning was to be who you are. God wants you to be who you are. And I spend a lot of time in prayer, actually. I meditate and I pray, and I just ask God to show me what I need to see, to bring people into my life that he wants to bring into my life. He nudges me all the time. I call them little God nudges. He brings people into my life. I just ask him to show me how to love better.
Do you ever feel angst with God guiding you to do different things, or do you ever feel like this? You want to push back, or do you ever resist? Do you ever sense he's asking you to do things you're not really excited to do?
Yeah. All the time. Actually, I should say
it's not that comfortable up here.
You know, during our journey as a couple, Jane and I, and even before that, I had a nudging from God that I was to be in some kind of a gay ministry, whatever that was going to be, and I didn't know what that entailed. It was just, there was this feeling inside me that this is what God wanted me to do. And Jane and I got together, and we started telling our story. And so, do I enjoy it? I would say it's a little nerve-wracking being up here sometimes, yeah. Do I have angst? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a passion that this is really what God wants me to do, to be here with you this morning. That even though at times it's a scary thing, that this is where I need to be. And just to let go and to let God.
Wow.
And Jane doesn't have quite the passion that I do, but she comes
I'm
along
her partner.
With me.
Better so. Or worse.
Yeah. You know, I'm. The other night we were chatting, Jane, and you know, we were talking pretty openly just about different mindsets within the church. And I've had lots of conversations with people that say, you know, Jeff, you're just going to endorse homosexuality. You're going to say that everything's okay. And you made a statement even about this whole process. You said something about, you know, we're not here to make everyone accept homosexuality. Can you go back to that and kind of, even, I don't know if you remember us chatting about that, but just, even just chatted your thoughts on, I think it was surrounding the whole thing of just not judging, and regardless of your view on the rightness or wrongness, do you remember that part in the conversation we just...
And I was afraid you were going to ask this, because I remember Vince going, oh yeah, that's great, yeah, and I'm going, uh-oh. Because that was probably God talking at the time, not probably was, and now it's me talking because I'm nervous. I know, I got it, but I don't listen. It's ego. It's truly about, for myself, is the non-judgmental piece. Mm. And you don't have to agree. But please just don't judge, don't hate, because Jesus never did. And I think this is a big part of it. We were at this church that we met at and fell in love. Lori was there for 10 years, I was there for 5. Never once was there a message from that pulpit that said, you were not accepted. They accepted every other low life, so why not us?
Can I just stop you? You are not a low life.
that was where it was at.
I know you know that. I just want to say that. You know.
And we were a little naive, I think. The minister to marry us. It was United Church. Hey, every United Church will marry you. No, they won't. I'd been on missions with these people. Praise God. Lori was in the music ministry. And never in their time will such a ceremony take place in that church. But go ahead and get married somewhere else, and then you can come back and worship here. That was what we were told. And a big reason why this is such a passion is because the judgment, that feeling that you were not, you didn't qualify to be a Christian, God really didn't love you. It's all just a hoax. And we lost our whole faith community. So I ask open-mindedness. We have friends that don't agree that we should be married. They're still our friends because they're open to discussion. And I love the fact that you guys are being really brave to have this discussion. It's a hard one. I'm not telling you to allow same-sex marriage here. I'm not telling you that that's what's good for you. You can determine that for yourselves. It's just so important for the gay community to be able to have homes where we can worship God in a safe, loving environment.
Safe homes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you for coming and being a part of this and making yourself vulnerable and transparent. I know that doing this has not always worked out for you. And I just want to say that we love you. And thank you for coming this morning. This is fantastic. Can we thank them? Yeah. give you a hug. Thank you for coming.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, God is here. When we were singing and worshiping, God is here.
Thank you.
And thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Just before you guys, I'll just close up here, but I know I just want to say to our community, I know of people that have just mentioned in passing to family and friends that we were going to do this morning, and some of you are taking some heat. Some of you have friends or family members or coworkers who are gay or lesbian. And you want to love, you're just trying to sort this out. I think there's probably people within our community, you've been scared that anyone would know that you're gay or lesbian. And I know because I've talked to you. You're here. And it's just one of those things you just cannot let out because you're just so freaked out about the judgment that happens. And I'm not here to tell you anything but to apologize on behalf of the church. For judging. For not loving. For hating. I'm just sorry. You're every bit as much of a child of God as anyone else. Loved by God. Please forgive me on behalf of the church. I'm hoping that we are learning that it's impossible to judge the spiritual implications between a person based on our own list. It's impossible. So it's not our job to judge. May we be a community that does this well, that just refuses to judge in love. Next week, it's going to be a little different. I'm going to interview a really devoted follower of Christ, a man who deeply loves God but has some different views on some of the stuff that we've been talking about here, around here at Friends Church over the last while. In chatting with him this week, he wanted to clarify. He says, I don't think I'm a fundamentalist. I'm just a very strong traditionalist. And so there's probably nuancing of those words and what that looks like in his mind. But he has some very specific kind of views, even on what we're doing this morning and on other things. And so it might look a little different next week. But these are all people in our lives who maybe for some of us, we would look more at that kind of person and say, well, I really got a problem with him more so than I would have a problem with these people. Regardless, God's calling us not to judge. And so we're going to bring him up on stage and we're going to talk openly. He has some issues. He wants to talk about homosexuality. He's going to share his thoughts on that. He doesn't believe that there's lists for each of us. He believes there's one list. And he's going to talk a little bit about his views on that. And I just told him, I want you to come. I want you to share with us. And then I want you to tell us about your spiritual journey. So I'm going to invite you back next week. And if you know of people, pretty black and white people, they see it pretty head on. You know, it might be one of those times you want to bring them out on a Sunday. Like today might not have been one of those Sundays, right? But next Sunday might be one for those kind of people to invite out. So anyways, a little different strokes for different folks, right? Anyways, I want to just thank you again, Lori and Jane. You guys said, hey, we'd like to come and hear that. You guys are brave. Anyways, thank you for joining us this morning. I'm going to turn it back over to the band. I know we've run a little over time, so forgive us for that. Let's thank Lori and Jane.